iHeart 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Tropical Storm Debbie is back. The system made a second landfall northeast of Charleston this morning. The National Hurricane Center expects it'll weaken to a tropical depression today as it beats a path to the northeast. CBS News Boston meteorologist Eric Fisher.
Once it comes ashore, it starts to lose some of those tropical characteristics. However, it still brings all that tropical rainfall and all that moisture. Rain is the story. It will start to accelerate, though. It moves much faster to the north as it comes through interior sections of the northeast and then exits on Saturday morning coming through northern New England.
Back in the south, they're still swamped after this week's massive rainfall in Savannah.
I look down and there's guppies and fish swimming through the water.
Officials in Vienna say they discovered what they call concrete preparatory measures for a terror attack before Taylor Swift canceled three sold-out shows that had been scheduled there this week. Police have arrested two suspects, one a 19-year-old who'd pledged allegiance to ISIS, the other 17, who began working at the concert venue just days ago.
I'm Paul Farry in Vienna, where there's a sense of sadness across the city, not just the tourists who thought they'd be going to concerts this weekend, but the people who live here, the taxi drivers, the hotel staff. They say this sort of thing just never happens here.
Police say they found chemicals and technical devices at the home of one of the suspects. Another World Central Kitchen worker has been killed in Gaza. Correspondent Cammie McCormick.
The U.S.-based aid group says a Palestinian staff member was killed in central Gaza. The Israeli military says it doesn't know of any such incident, but has been in contact with the group. In April, Israeli airstrikes killed seven World Central Kitchen workers as they traveled through Gaza to distribute aid.
President Biden's weighing in on the race for the White House on CBS News in his first interview since he dropped out of the running.
President Biden says he is not confident that if Donald Trump loses in November, that there will be a peaceful transfer of power.
You can't love your country only when you win.
When asked during their June debate whether he would accept the outcome of the election, Trump said he would accept the result if it's a, quote, fair and legal and good election.
He means what he says. We don't take him seriously. He means it. All the stuff about if we lose, there'll be a bloodbath.
Matt Piper, CBS News.
Just four more days to go at the Summer Olympics. On tap today,
American Noah Lyles will try to double the fun with wins in both the 100 and 200. If the fastest man in the world, by 5,000ths of a second, can do it, it will be the first time since 1984 when Carl Lewis topped the podium in both events.
CBS's Wendy Gillette from Paris. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris and running mate Tim Walz in Eau Claire Wednesday. Here's James Kelly.
Vice President Kamala Harris and her newly named running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, held a rally in Eau Claire on Wednesday. Vice President Harris and Governor Walz were met with cheers from an enthusiastic crowd and chants like, "We're not going back." Their remarks focused on their vision for the future of America, including access to abortion, strengthening the middle class, and criticisms of the Project 2025 agenda. Campaign staff estimated a 12,000-person crowd in the Eau Claire event district.
James Kelly reporting. Republican running mate J.D. Vance also in Eau Claire Wednesday. The Ohio senator is holding adjacent events known as bracketing as the Democratic ticket campaigns in key swing states. Vance says it's important for the Trump campaign to talk to people and make their case. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Packers' injury list grows. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL training camp week 3, and the Packers' first-round draft pick, offensive lineman Jordan Morgan, is injured.
He had a shoulder. It's nothing long-term, but he's going to be out probably for a week or so.
Head coach Matt LaFleur, the Packers play the Browns in Cleveland this Saturday. Baseball, 8 runs and 16 hits. The Brewers beat the Braves last night in Atlanta, 8-5, to win the series. Pat Murphy.
You talk about how relentless our offense was today. It was relentless, and it wasn't a lot of extra base hits, but, you know, it was relentless.
And at the Olympics, U.S. sprinter Kenny Benarek from Rice Lake, Wisconsin, qualifies for the 200-meter finals with a time of 20 seconds flat.
I mean, and I already knew what pace I was at. And for me, it was like, hey, I know I'm there. I just got to make sure to execute the race, step on the gas, and go let up. I'm not surprised with what I ran. Only thing I was just hoping for was the wind to work with me, and it did, and I'm happy with my performance.
A replay of today's finals coming up tonight on NBC. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Cloudy with a few sprinkles this morning, becoming mostly sunny by later this afternoon. Our high today, 73, with wind out of the west at 10 to 20. Tonight, clear, 50. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and breezy with a high of 69. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we're going to talk about Christian nationalism's influence on Project 2025 and what that could mean for America. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, August 8th, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're listening across the Civic Media radio network, through the app, on social media, or by podcast, thanks for taking us along to get your day going. I got a question for you. Is your face as sunburned as mine? And the answer is yes, if you're one of the 12,000 close friends that all packed together in a field in Eau Claire yesterday for the rally with Vice President Kamala Harris and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. It was a fun day. The weather was gorgeous, but there wasn't a single cloud really to block the sun for 6 hours. Some of us got there right away because we know how big these crowds can get and we know about the Secret Service lines and everything. So got there at 9 for a program that didn't really get going till closer to 2. And like I said, it was sunny. There were all sorts of folks who needed attention. I mean, Governor Walz even paused his speech for a bit while somebody was attended to. You know, not that it was, you know, that hot. It was 74, 75 degrees, but you're right there in direct sun, you know, packed together with folks for hours and hours. But I don't know that a lot of people would say they regret going. It was a hassle to get in. Long, long lines. Some people were in their cars, you know, hour and a half to 2 hours waiting to get to where the parking areas were. Many people abandoned their cars and walked the final 2 miles to get in. But everybody was in great spirits. Everybody enjoyed hearing from Bon Iver and hearing the remarks from Governor Evers, Tammy Baldwin, Sarah Godlewski, and more. And then, of course, you know, getting to see the vice president and her running mate. So all in all, a very exciting day, a big day, and only part of the day for the Harris-Walz ticket. They went on to Michigan for an even bigger rally. So we'll be talking all about that coming up this morning. And there was somebody else involved. There's two as well that we need to talk about. And Greg Bach is in Waukesha, who's going to help us with this. It was poor little J.D. Vance.
Oh, man.
He was there, too, kind of. Yeah. In what could only be called stalking, he and his campaign have decided to basically follow the Harris-Walz ticket. And I mean quite literally, even on the airport tarmac in Eau Claire here, you had Vance and his entourage of lots of white guys, you know, looking like they were stalking Air Force Two, and J.D. Vance making comments about, you know, well, it's her plane now, but it's going to be my plane soon. And some of the other stuff that he said that was just weird. He was asked, Greg, yesterday in Eau Claire, why people would like to have a beer with him. And his answer was very Kavanaugh-esque, like, I like beer, maybe a little too much. That was, you know, like he plagiarized somebody else's answer. And in Detroit, a reporter said, what makes you happy? And he couldn't give an answer. He ripped on the reporter and then ripped into Kamala Harris because he could not have an answer. There is no joy in that campaign. I mean, especially since the guy at the top of the ticket, Donald Trump, where's this guy? Where is he?
He's in Montana, sort of, I guess. I don't know.
He'll be, he'll be in Montana for one rally in a safe state, and otherwise is doom scrolling and trolling on his tiny social media network. I mean, just talk about your low energy. So we'll talk about some of this with Joseph Pecky coming up a little bit later on just a very interesting phase of the presidential campaign as it moves into the month of August here. In our second hour, we have our Women Win Wisconsin segment, and State Representative Deb Andraca will join Kate Duffy and Nicole Slavin, our friends from Motherhood for Good. You know, part of the message from the new Democratic ticket is about freedom. And those things include to be free from government interference in your doctor's exam room, for example, to be free from gun violence, for example. Deb Andraca has said she was inspired to run for office when she was a teacher who had to experience the terror of lockdown drills and said, this is no way to run a country. And so we'll hear from her coming up a little bit later on today. We could hear from you as well. If you like, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Or you could send us a text message instead, and we would get that and pass that along. I have to open up the window here just to make sure I see it. There it is. There, if you text us now, we'll see it and perhaps put it up on screen as well. Would love to hear if you were at the rally. That would be pretty amazing. Mark writes on Facebook, over 15,000 on 3-day notice. That would be the Detroit rally. We heard the number beforehand that they were expecting 12,000. They wouldn't make that one public. And I think in part because they didn't want to like discourage people from coming, but based on the amount of interest in signing up for tickets online, they would not have been surprised to see 12,000 people in Eau Claire. And they in fact got 12,000 people at the Eau Claire Event District, the new site where they hold Country Jam just north of the city of Eau Claire. 12,000 people there. And then they went to Detroit and they had to move that venue to a great big airplane hangar that could hold 15,000 people that turned out there. There's going to be a rally coming up in Arizona, another one at the end of the week in Las Vegas. Greg, it's like they flipped the script entirely. It was Trump who had the big outdoor rallies and the big crowds, mm-hmm. and they were chanting, lock her up. And now, even though it's not something Harris and Walz are encouraging, I've heard in two different rallies now, at least, the crowd breaks in to lock him up when they start talking about Trump. I mean, it is just turned on a dime, this campaign.
Well, I mean, back then they were saying lock her up, and they didn't really have much to go on because there was no evidence of crimes committed. But now what they could be chanting is lock him up because he's been convicted of 34 counts of felonies. Lock him up because he's been convicted of 30. It doesn't have the zhuzh and the rhythm, but still.
No, it doesn't. There's a cadence issue there that we have to deal with. But
it's accurate.
But it would be, in fact, yes, evidence-based. An evidence-based chant would be great. There were some great shirts out there. Some people made their own shirts. There was one lady who dressed up in base like a cat. You know, she put on the cat ears and she had a tail and a big banner that said meow on it. There were a lot of cat lady related T-shirts out there. And I talked to these folks, and again, they're happy. You know, they were angry at J.D. Vance or Donald Trump, and of course, still would if you pressed them on it. But they're just happy to be able to find out they're not alone, mm-hmm. and to find out that there are people they can now enthusiastically support. And that's what you got in this crowd. And I mean, you know, from callers to radio shows and all the feedback we get, that is still the vibe that's going on out there.
Nice.
Thank you.
I mean, it's just we're going to hear about it from Governor Walz, but it's the word that we were saying during our show yesterday on Matt and Aaron Air. It's just this sense of joy, this sense mm-hmm. of It's not even a fact of like, oh, we have two candidates who might have a chance to win the election, which is great. But it's also two individuals who just seem to be happy. And when you had 4 years in office and other years around us of a guy who could not feel joy, could not feel anything but anger, derision, paranoia, it takes a toll on you. And to have this breath of fresh air, you're like, oh, this is what happiness is supposed to feel like.
Yeah. And we're gonna hear some more of those from some of those folks about that coming up as well. Selena Heller was out there with me, and Selena talked to so many voters, and we'll hear from just a sample of them. And then we're just going to keep parceling them out over at Up North News over the coming days here so that folks can hear from their friends and neighbors about the better feeling that they have. Here's an example in the Associated Press write-up of the story. They talked to Dan Miller from Pelican Lake, who said that Joe Biden, quote, has been an incredible president, but he just isn't the same messenger. And sometimes you need a better messenger, and that's Kamala Harris. And I think that sums it up extremely well. When you didn't hear Joe Biden's name mentioned a lot, but when Vice President Harris brought up President Biden, the crowd went wild. The crowd was a very great, you know, there were chants of thank you, Joe, you know, and not just for stepping down from the race, but also for everything that he had done to this point. They knew that he had gotten the country to where we are now, which is in this far better place than it was in 2020, which people want a memory hole, but we remember 2020, not a good economy. You know, more Americans dying in a shorter time span than ever before. And as much as we're still in kind of a state of shock that we really haven't fully processed, we do know who was at the helm back then.
Yeah.
And doing, I think this is a safe radio word, a craptastic job of it.
Let me check the book. So, FCC yeah, says okay.
Yeah, okay, there we go. People acknowledge it. And you know, it is good to know that leadership is alive and well, whether it's Joe Biden taking over from Donald Trump or whether it's potentially Kamala Harris taking over from Joe Biden, that there are these positive transfers that this country can make. And that is a very good thing. So we'll play some audio from the speeches and from some of the voters coming up here at 6:17. I have to say now, because of all the news this week, I've watched almost no Olympics. It's almost like the Olympics are over for me. Not that I would want them to be. There's just been a lot of news. And last night with the Brewers, I didn't get to see much of that either. And yet it was kind of a summer rerun, because once again, the Brewers got 16 hits in winning over Atlanta last night, 8-5.
Yeah.
Joey Ortiz, 3-for-5 with a double and 2 RBIs to help your first place Milwaukee Brewers. We haven't talked about that for a while. Yeah. Beat Atlanta for the second straight game to open the series, and they will play again this afternoon. First pitch is going to be at 11:20. So if I'm not mistaken, I believe that makes pregame 10:45. And Luke Mathers, he'll be on later on. He does such a good job of putting these notes together. He probably really wishes that we'd pre-read them. But it is right here, because Luke does his job. 10:45 on the pregame on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WCQM in Park Falls, and WRJN in Racine, Kenosha. 10:45 this morning pregame for an 11:20 game against Atlanta. And then the Brewers come home for a long series, a long homestand, starting with a series against the Reds tomorrow. All right, back to the Harris, Walls, and J.D. Vance Stalking Show coming up in just a bit. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Wisconsin Country 105.5 WIRI and locally grown radio WFHR are having a party. A party on the roundabout. Join us August 14th from noon to 6 p.m. and have some fun on the radio. Say hi to Pam and the rest of the staff. There will be kids games, balloon animals, and face painting. There will be a live animal show by the Aquarium Pet Shop. Have your kid team up with one of our on-air personalities to record a radio message that we might air later. That's right, you could hear your kid on the radio. Meet and take pictures with our feathery mascot, Agatha, from New York.
noon to 2. She loves to make new friends. Then share and tag your picture to win station merch, including brand new t-shirts. Help us give back and support our community by donating a non-perishable food or school supply item. Don't miss El Taco Social Food Truck serving hot, yummy tacos and more. And don't forget to text in your song requests for WIRI before August 11th through the Civic Media app. It's the WFHR WIRI Party on the Roundabout, Wednesday, August 14th from noon to 6 p.m. Come and see how much fun radio can be.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
When you're gone, looks like things are gonna be a lot easier. Life will be a breeze, you know. I really should be glad.
Pat, what are you doing, man? I mean, that first bumper tune is supposed to be upbeat, get us going. It's 6:20 in the morning, and you're playing the late Michael Johnson. What's that about? It's a slow day.
Did Yacht Rock come early? I mean, this is a slow yacht tune.
I know. It is so slow, I didn't want to include it in the history lesson. But Michael Johnson was born on this day, so we're like, well, we got to acknowledge it. So let's just do it here while we're still waking up, shall we? Because that is a slow, mellow song.
Yeah, I like it.
All right, let's move on. The daily newsletter is out from Up North News. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. I'm not going to give away the first couple of stories until our history segment, because today is a very special day in Wisconsin as far as all those little national holidays go. So that'll be coming up. On the news side of things, details about how J.D. Vance, who could soon be a heartbeat away from the presidency, is getting a lot more scrutiny over some of his policy ideas, his views, his past remarks. And that includes the very simple idea of one person, one vote, and that he would be okay with changing that. He has said that people with children, here he goes after the childless folks again, people with children should have significantly greater power when they go to the ballot box. He proposed giving children a vote, but that their parents control the vote. So if you've got 6 kids, you've got 7 votes compared to your neighbor who has 1. He says, let's give votes to all children in this country. Give control of the votes to the parents. When you go to the polls in this country as a parent, you should have more power. You should have more of an ability to speak your voice in our democratic republic than people who don't have kids. And it's not like he said it only one time. What's the word I'm looking for on this, Craig? Oh, weird. Weird. That's what it is.
I was going to say anti-democracy, but okay. But yes, he is very good at being very weird.
Yeah, and like yesterday with the stunt, you know, by Air Force Two and the weird responses he gave to what should be positive questions. And he was trying to question Tim Walz's military record. That didn't work very well. I'm trying to think, what are they trying? And we'll talk to Joe Zepecki about this too, because it just seems like they're looking to see if anything will stick to the wall. Here's one of the things I think they're trying. They don't like this weird label at all. And so they're trying to get to the, and again, there's a word I can't say on the radio. I'll tell you it starts with an A, but I use the word jerk. They're trying to get back to being jerks, because when they're jerks, but think of the other word, you know, part of their base is like, yeah, they're tough, and all the attention's on them for being jerks. You know, that's what when bullies are being mean, you know, they're getting more attention. Mm. But when you're calling out the weirdness, it's like you've removed any kind of armor from them. And it's working, not from a marketing standpoint. It's working because these are literally weird ideas or weird responses that they're giving, yeah, you know, to these questions. There's no two ways about it. And voters recognize it. And they wouldn't recognize it, say, early on. You know, even folks who were opposed to Donald Trump in the very beginning weren't really using the word weird. They were more like, this guy's a danger, this guy's a threat, mm-hmm, you know. And instead, now it's like they've heard enough, they've seen enough to go, no, dude, you're kind of weird. And it's resonating with folks. They want to again feel something different. Here's Governor Tim Walz. Again, with, as Greg said earlier, one of the key words, Kamala Harris brought it up as well, that it is okay to feel something different about this campaign.
This is what we know. All the things that make me mad about those other guys and all the things they do wrong, the one thing that I will not forgive them for is they try to steal the joy from this country. They try and steal the joy. But you know what? You know what? Our next president brings the joy. She emanates the joy.
That's Tim Walz talking about Vice President Kamala Harris, who herself described herself as a joyful warrior. And not saying it's going to be like this all the time, but right now it sure is getting a nice positive start about it. There's still a long, hard slog ahead. And Tim Walz recognized it when he got confused as to how many days are left in the campaign. But when that happened in his Eau Claire remarks, and he kind of stumbled and caught himself, listen to how he won the crowd right back.
By the way, we got about 91 days, and I keep telling people this, 91 days. My God, you can do anything for 91 days. 90. Christ, I haven't slept in 24 hours. You know why? We'll sleep when we're dead. We'll sleep when we're dead.
I mean, listen to this guy. He just gets it.
Tim Walz doesn't even know when the election is. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. On the right, one of the newest right-wing attacks yesterday was referring to him. They're trying to give him a nickname, Twitchy Tim, because they didn't like the way that he moved his hands. And they said there's something twitchy about him, which, again, even if there was, it's kind of like a stutterer. Like, really? Are you going to mock that in 2024? That's a bad move.
Well, you said the same thing. Like, you said, like, they're trying to give these nicknames. Like, they're like, he's Tampon Tim. Do you know if you say that to him, he'd be like, yeah, I'll take that nickname. It's because I tried to give access to things to people because I want to help. Like, nothing works when they try to make fun of them.
No, because, again, it's the weird stuff. If they were... I saw a great clip scrolling yesterday. Somebody put up one of the old clips from The Newsroom, the HBO series. Mm. And, you know, you've got the main character, the network news anchor. You know, they're saying, well, you say you're a Republican, but you're not really a Republican. And he's saying, actually, I'm a Republican because I believe in free markets and not so much regulation and a strong military. But now you're telling me to be a Republican, I also have to be homophobic. You're telling me that I have to be hateful. You're telling me that I have to do all these things that were not part of, you know, Republican orthodoxy before. And it's all about looking back at the past, whereas in these next remarks, Vice President Harris talks about how this really ought to be a campaign focused on the future.
Every senior can retire with dignity, a future where we build a broad-based economy and one where every American has the opportunity to own a home, to start a business, to build wealth, and understand in this fight, as Tim Walz likes to point out, we are joyful warriors. Joyful warriors. Because we know that...
Again, future-focused, being upbeat about these things. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And there's nothing wrong with our Republican friends and neighbors who like to talk about ideas on how we get to some of these places. I've said repeatedly, and I will keep saying on the show when Republican friends and allies are around me, I want to get back to fighting again about, you know, what the tax code should look like. There's no reason we should have to fight over whether to have common sense gun safety rules. There's no reason why J.D. Vance should be talking everything out of his mouth is about the southern border. He was asked a question in Eau Claire about rural Wisconsin's economy. And he brought it back to, we have to get rid of those illegals, you know, something along those lines. Because they've got no proactive ideas that look toward the future that are focused on our communities. They're only looking to win. Joe Zepecki will talk more about this when he joins us right after this. This is Up North News Radio, live from Chippewa Falls on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Change the numbers on my television.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed.
keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For many Wisconsin farmers, too much water this spring meant fewer acres planted, and we're not out of the woods when it comes to challenges yet. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. One area that Wisconsin farmers still need to monitor is the potential for tar spot in their cornfields. Dr. Damon Smith's our University Extension plant pathologist, and he says that is an issue that could really take a toll on overall yields if you don't pay attention.
So we kind of watch what's going on in that upper third of the canopy. If it reaches that upper third and it gets to be about 5 to 10% leaf coverage on that upper canopy, we can start to have some pretty substantial losses. You know, the bad years of 2018 and 2021, We saw some fields, you know, with yield reductions, 40 to, sometimes 80, bushels per acre. So that's pretty substantial.
Dr. Damon Smith, University Extension plant pathologist, he said, so far in Wisconsin's corn growing season, we haven't had a lot of tar spot issues, but he said that can change at any time. So keep monitoring. I'm monitoring the markets for you on a Thursday morning, and so far it looks like that corn market, as well as beans, back under pressure. Numbers are next.
When it comes to growing soybeans, you need an advantage. And with Zatavo soybean seed, you get a big one, 3.4 bushels per acre big. It's a yield advantage made possible by BASF Genetics, proprietary germplasm and industry-leading seed quality. Talk to your retailer today about staying ahead of the game with Zatavo soybean seed.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVits Bovine Gold Light to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Gold Light keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Gold Light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Big rally yesterday in the dairy complex. We saw barrel cheese gain 4 cents to 195. 40-pound block cheese was up 6.5, 196.5. AA butter stood still, 3.10 1/4 per pound. This morning in Chicago, the September Class 3 milk's up a nickel at 20.85. The October milk closed 34 cents stronger, 21.16 a hundredweight. Right now, December new crop corn's down a penny at 3.99 3/4. November new crop beans down a penny and a quarter, 10.17 1/2. September wheat up a penny and a half right now, 5.39 3/4 per bushel. I'm Pam Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Cloudy with a few sprinkles this morning, becoming mostly sunny by later this afternoon. Our high today, 73, with wind out of the west at 10 to 20. Tonight, clear 50. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and breezy with a high of 69. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
We're having a party!
And you're invited!
It's happening in the WFHR parking lot.
And it's Wednesday, August 14th from 12 to 6 p.m.
We're going to have food trucks and giveaways and face painting.
Balloon animals, WFHR merch, music requests, and much, much more.
We'll host the party, play your music requests, and all you need to do is show up.
On Wednesday, August 14th, noon to 6 p.m. in our parking lot.
Wisconsin's fall primary election is Tuesday, August 13th, with constitutional ballot questions, a U.S. Senate race, contested congressional primaries, and new legislative maps. This fall, Wisconsin decides.
Be a voter, then tune to your local Civic Media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
I'm News Director Terry Bell. When the polls close at 8, our news team will bring you results from all over Wisconsin.
Election coverage live, Tuesday, August 13th at 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app. Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the punk band Radio for Pets, who will blow the roof off the joint live in the studio, and Milwaukee-based actress and comedian Alicia Alstetter.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Mm.
6:34 on Up North News Radio. Joseph Pecky joins us now. After it's funny, we're talking about Coach Walls, you know, all the time. I didn't even know this until, you know, this week, and we talk about Coach Walls, and well, there's Coach Zepecki as well. He's working on coaching a football team and working well in the evening hours on that. Joe, good morning. How are you? And tell us about the team.
I'm good. This is season 7 coaching at the high school I played at in the 1900s, as the kids say. You feel it when they put it that way. And I apologize that my voice is not yet in mid-season form.
No, clearly you've been yelling, whistle.
Two-a-day camp is not just for the kids. It's to get the coaches' vocal instruments where they need to be. But, it's been a good first couple of days. And, important part of community. And one of my absolute favorite things about Tim Walls is that he is coach, and I love it when the vice president calls him coach. And I agree with the people online who are saying there's a reason she calls him coach and not governor, and it's because it's a more important title.
And definitely more apt, I think, as well, for the days that we're in. I also like from his coaching and teaching, I have to admit, I was surprised when I learned yesterday or the day before that he and I are the same age. Because
does that make you feel better or worse?
Look, I don't mean to make this. I'm leading to a punchline. Trust me. I just thought he looked a couple of years older than me, and I found out he's the same. But turns out he's got a response for that. He says, "I spent 27 years as a lunchroom supervisor. Watching kids will turn your hair white prematurely.
Yeah,
and I'm sure the coaching probably played a role as well."
Perhaps. Can I make both you and Governor Walls feel worse about yourselves?
Sure, go for it.
Brad Pitt is older than both of you.
All right, moving on. Once you get the coaching aside, you understand that the coach turned congressman turned governor turned running mate nominee in waiting was in Eau Claire. Had a great time at the Chippewa Valley, it's quite clear, before heading to another raucous rally in Detroit last evening. And again, nobody is saying that this is some kind of honeymoon that lasts for 90 days. There's going to be ups and downs. But Joe, we've seen plenty of campaigns, you and I. This is a pretty nice launch.
It could not have gone any better. I was actually just talking to someone. The last time that a vice presidential pick had anywhere near this amount of oomph to it really feels like it was Sarah Palin. And I don't mean to curse or hex Governor Walls, but the last time that there was this much enthusiasm and outpouring of love on either side of the political aisle for a vice presidential nomination, it probably was that little known governor of a small state that's kind of off the beaten trail. And so I think there's some similarities there that particularly our friends in the East Coast media, they don't know what to make of this guy. You and I run into him every time we're at the local tavern because, Tim Walls is a good man and a great governor and a really good pick, but he's also just that, like, actual true doesn't have to pretend or tell you he's got that Midwest dad energy. He just is that.
He just does.
And, Sarah Palin was, people were like, whoa, what the heck is this? What's a hockey mom? Listen, if you're in Northern Wisconsin or you're in Minnesota, you know what a hockey mom is. Right. And, I think some of it is just how unusual he is for this moment in our politics. I do think some of it has to do with, we talked about this last week, just maybe we all undersold how much people were yearning for something new and fresh and different and how much they want to turn the page on really a decade now of our politics that has been defined by Donald Trump and a global pandemic that killed 1 million Americans. People are ready to move forward and find something new and different. And a guy who is a 24-year veteran of the armed forces who rose to the highest rank of enlisted non-officer during that service and while he was coaching the football team, started the Gay-Straight Alliance because he felt like it was important for a straight married coach in a small town to be the one who told the kids who felt different in the 90s that it was okay, that they mattered too. And that not only tells you a lot about the character of Tim Walz, it also, I think, tells you about the America that so many people want to live in. And this hope and optimism that people are feeling is surging across the country. And it's just, it's really remarkable and refreshing to see. And I agree with the people who say we haven't felt or seen anything like it in our politics since Barack Obama. Listen, Joe, right. You and I both agree Joe Biden's a great American president. Mm-hmm. And it's just not the same. It's just not equivalent.
It's not the same, although I would say that same year, 2008, and I'm not saying that that Barack Obama picking Joe Biden had the same energy, but there was at the time this, oh, it's Uncle Joe. We know Joe. We know Joe. Joe and Barack are going to be great. And they were. But again, that was 2000. It was 16 years ago. You can't believe that was 16 years ago already. And, you know, time does what it does, and folks were ready to turn the page. Man, I interviewed so many people in that crowd yesterday, and again, every one of them would be grateful for President Biden, but they were even more grateful that he passed the torch. And yes, you could really feel something cathartic. And I think not just in dyed-in-the-wool Democrats. I think in a whole lot of voters out there. But look, let's not fool ourselves. There was a new Marquette poll that came out yesterday. And Joe, you're never going to believe what it said. You're never going to believe what it said. It said we're a swing state where it's basically a 49-49 race or something like that. I know you're as shocked as I am.
Just dismayed. I fell over in my chair when I saw it. No, I mean, listen, this is a toss-up state. It's a divided state. We are politically polarized. And we got to put in the work. And I think the people that support Kamala Harris and understand the danger that Donald Trump poses to this country and to our way of life and to the Constitution are going to do the work. And that's what I'm seeing. And that's the difference. We are seeing Kamala Harris and Tim Walz barnstorm the country. We are seeing record numbers of grassroots donations. We are hearing about field offices overflowing and running out of clipboards. And on the other side, you've got J.D. Vance just kind of awkwardly following Harris plane around the country.
Who thought that was a good idea?
And Donald Trump is doing one event this week, and he's in Montana.
And he's phoning in to Fox from, you know, what he would say is his basement, you know, Mar-a-Lago. Right. You know, all the things, again, it's always projection, the things that they accuse other people of. So I'll ask Mark Jacob tomorrow, where's all the press coverage now about Donald Trump's stamina and age and everything else? But the point is that he's sending J.D. Vance out to look like a creeper. And he yesterday, Joe, when he was asked a question about the rural economy, he talked about the southern border. And a reporter asked him something about the rural economy here. And of course, the answer had something to do with the southern border. It's just such a one-trick pony. And then he's trying to question Tim Walz's military service. And that did not go over well. Folks remember the swift voting of John Kerry in 2004. These guys are just flailing right now, Joe.
Yeah, they're lost and adrift. And let me show you how easy this is. J.D. Vance and I disagree on almost anything, and I don't have a lot of respect for people who change their entire public persona to get ahead out of nothing more than personal ambition. But I honor and appreciate and respect J.D. Vance's 4 years of service. I think, you know, he should probably stop talking about Tim Walz's 24 years of service. But I appreciate the fact that J.D. Vance served this country in uniform. And now back to the campaign, right? Which is, this is a guy who was asked what makes him smile and what makes him happy this week and turned the answer into things that make him angry. And I just, my sense of this is the Trump-Vance ticket is the most online ticket in the history of the world. They need to touch grass and go to a local high school football practice. They need to go to a bowling alley. They need to go to the post office. I went to the post office yesterday, and you had a young person coming in to get their passport, and they were very excited, and a young family with literally an infant posing for their passport photo. And yes, they were talking about their respective travel plans. Does that sound like a country where we dislike each other, or where the economy is so terrible that we're all, you know, hoarding rations? No,
no.
The economy's doing pretty well. Mm-hmm. People are feeling pretty good. We're getting over the COVID hangover. The America that Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are talking about only exists in the green rooms of Fox. I don't want to call it news,
right?
Newsmax and the rest of them. It is such a disconnect. And it's, you know, that's the campaign they are choosing to run. But Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are having fun and reminding this country that this, it's okay to smile and laugh and be joyful. And I think the contrast is so stark that, yes, the Marquette Law School poll is showing that this is a campaign that that ticket has to work for to defeat Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. But I think in the end, hope beats fear. Joy [S2] Yeah. [S1] Beats anger. We have seen Democrats and the left on an incredible hot streak here in Wisconsin since 2016. 17 statewide elections. The left has won 14 of them. I will take our chances on the left today, tomorrow, or 90 days from now, because the energy and enthusiasm are on our side. And I don't know how the Trump Vance team can arrest that momentum at this point.
Not in any positive way. Again, it's all about muddying the waters and making people feel despondent that they say, oh, why even bother to vote? So let's move on to other questionable campaign tactics. And I'm going to pick on Derek Van Orden just to say this. He put up another video. He put up one a week ago or so, stopping at the Crawford County Democrats office and left a video. I'm going to leave them a couple of my lawn signs and a couple of my buttons. And it's like, okay, that's funny. No, it's not. And he did it again. He was in Eau Claire and he stopped at Rebecca Cook's campaign office. Again, filmed a selfie. I'm leaving them a t-shirt and I'm leaving them signs. And I bring this up, Joe, because you and I have both been involved in campaigns. And you and I both know if donors see their candidate wasting time in any way, shape, or form, they want to know you're putting in the work. And when they see a candidate doing something that is clearly a waste of time, yeah, somebody at Rebecca Cook's office is going to vote for Derek Van Orden, the donors let them know this, and some of the supporters probably will as well. That was not a smart thing to do. I mean, it's childish, but from a political standpoint, it was not smart.
No, but he's a troll, and yes, trolls troll. And, yeah, and it's the same thing with J.D. Vance. I mean, it's the same mindset that leads you to believe that it's a good idea for him to walk across the tarmac at Eau Claire Airport yesterday, mm-hmm, and declare to the reporters there that he wanted to get a look at his plane in a couple, yeah, of months. I'm sorry, sir. That plane belongs to the taxpayers, you and I, not, yes, to the current office holder of Vice President of the United States. And if you're Derek Van Orden, and we haven't gotten a chance to talk about this, which now strikes me as a glaring mistake, because I think if you went back into the archives and heard what we had to say about the incident outside of the Republican convention where Mr. Van Orden,
where he was viciously assaulted,
assaulted, he wants more video out there of him being a knucklehead, because that body cam footage from the officers makes clear that that young woman did nothing wrong. Derek Van Orden turned it up to 11 for no reason, because that's what he does. And that is the reward system on the right at this point, which is be an online troll, get the clicks, do it to own the libs, and you'll succeed in politics. Mm-hmm. That might work for one of the political parties right now, but it does not do anything to address the challenges that we still do face that would that if we did would allow us to move to an even more prosperous future.
Thank you very much. Rest up the vocal cords. We'll preview the Democratic convention next week.
Thanks, man.
Sorry about that. I had to catch my set something aside here. Thinking about, again, Joe Zepecki as a football coach. I made the joke earlier, like he was yelling whistle, you know, what made his vocal cords go out.
Yeah.
But I, for one, would play for a Coach Zepecki. The man knows the stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We have today's history lesson coming up in just a bit. You're up north.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
Join James and Southwood County Humane Society for Pet of the Week on Thursdays at 9 a.m. Stay up to date on needs, events, and available pets. Over 100 pets have been adopted thanks to area sponsors. To learn how to help, call Ashley at 715-496-0710.
Don't you score a new ride? Find a deal that hits out of the park with Johnson & Sons, your neighborhood Chrysler, Dodge, and Jeep dealer and service center. Serving Wisconsin Rapids and central Wisconsin area for over 84 years through four generations. See the difference that family can bring. Serving Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, Marshfield, Clover, Weston, and Cronenwetter. Take a swing. Don't miss out on these great deals at Johnson Chrysler Jeep in Wisconsin Rapids.
Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
Time for today's history lesson with a little shoulder shrug there from Greg Bach as he does a little cheer dancing to Xanadu. It was a movie, kids. A lot of people know the song. Well, fewer all the time. But it was also a movie. It was a terrible, terrible movie. It was the inspiration for the Golden Raspberry Award for Worst Film of the Year on this day in 1980, which was a heck of a way to go out for Gene Kelly, an otherwise Hollywood legend. But Gene Kelly and Olivia Newton-John couldn't quite pull off a roller skating musical in the waning disco days of the late 70s, early 80s. Yeah. The soundtrack, however, did all right. We'll have her singing Magic later on. There was her duet with Cliff Richard, Suddenly, and that was Xanadu that opened this day in 1980. Sad coincidence, Olivia Newton-John passed away 2 years ago today, and Glenn Campbell passed away 7 years ago today. Let's get to another happier moment for this day in history. The Beatles' iconic photo from their Abbey Road album cover with that crosswalk outside the studios, that was taken on this day in 1969. I couldn't even hasten to guess as to how many tourists since then have recreated that and have taken their photo at that spot. Somebody here is pointing at themselves, and it's not me.
There is a picture on my mom's refrigerator of me walking across Abbey Road, and my friend took that, made four of me, and so there's four of me walking across Abbey Road, because I don't have friends.
That's an instant classic. I love that. So now, did you see the studio as well? Do they do tours or anything?
We didn't do a tour of the studio. I don't know if there was available, but we were kind of in a hurry. We only had one day in London, so we did that quick. I wrote my name on the wall, and it was just amazing to see. So it was just a moment frozen in time.
Roger's come back on Facebook to our mentioning Glenn Campbell and says, I remember when my mom bought the Rhinestone Cowboy album. It was almost all that we listened to for about 2 months. It was that good. Glenn's cover of My Girl was as good as the title cut. He was a supremely talented man.
Absolutely. Did someone say Wichita lineman too?
No, this was the Rhinestone Cowboy album.
I misheard. Sorry. My mistake.
That's all right. It's always nice to keep that album handy, too, as well.
Yeah.
On this day in 1960, the number one song was a one-week wonder, but it's lived on in pop culture forever, and it was by Brian Hyland. The funny thing is, this takes us back to a time when the bikini was brand new,
yeah,
and was just so scandalous. And now it's just like it's everywhere because, you know, women can wear what they want to wear.
Yeah.
One year after the song was a hit, a baby was born in East London by the name of David Evans. Nobody calls him David Evans anymore. He's now known as The Edge and a member of U2. He is 63 years old today. Coincidentally, this day in 1987, U2 landed their second American number one hit with I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For from the Joshua Tree, as that album topped the charts. On this day in 1990, Iraq occupied Kuwait. That would lead to the Gulf War shortly afterward. Happy birthday to actor-singer Keith Carradine. He's 75 today and probably best known for his starring role in the 1975 classic film Nashville, where he performed this tune.
I never cared too much for games, and this one's driving me insane. You're not half as free to wander as you claim.
I never knew he was a singer.
But I'm easy.
Well, I never knew that there were two Carradines. I could not, because again, I was a kid back then. Well, there are many Carradines.
Yeah.
But I had him confused. Whenever I heard about him singing this song and being in the film Nashville, I'm like, wait, wasn't he also in some kind of kung fu thing? It's like, no, that was his half-brother, David.
Wasn't
David
he also
Carradine.
In Revenge of the Nerds? That was Robert.
There. So it was a real acting family.
Yeah.
Let's see. Dustin Hoffman, 87 years old today.
Dang!
Talk about a classic right there. Donnie Most, Ralph Malph from Happy Days, is 71 years old today. Let's see. Janis Joplin wrote a song while drinking at a nearby bar before a concert in Port Chester, New York, on this day in 1970. And it became an unexpected hit written on the fly.
Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends.
So she writes the song at a nearby bar, sings it that night, and would only do one more show before her untimely, if not entirely unexpected, death. Coincidentally, on this day in 2007, Amy Winehouse overdosed on a mixture of alcohol, heroin, cocaine, ecstasy, and ketamine after a London pub crawl. She had to cancel a tour. She entered rehab, but it did not take. She wrote a song about it, Rehab, and the rest we kind of know by now. A couple more birthdays here. The lead singer of Creed. Would you have known this? You know way more about some parts of music than I do. Do you know the lead singer? Would you have known it was Scott Stapp?
Yeah, I know his name. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I wouldn't have gotten a thing. He's 49 today.
Let's make our escape.
Yeah, because every guy's done this impression.
It was the late 90s, early 2000s of rockin' gravelly tenor singers.
Yeah, 49 years old today. Happy birthday to him. The first night baseball game in the history of Wrigley Field was played this day in 1988. It was rained out in the fourth inning. We mentioned singer Michael Johnson was born this day in 1944, passed away in 2017. Shawn Mendes, I have to do the math. Is this right? It is right. Shawn Mendes is only 26 years old today.
Yeah, oh, I've been shaking. I love it when you go crazy. You
hey, no, this is the song.
Baby, there's nothing holding me back. You take
there's
me
these, what? There's these artists out there who you've never heard of, and then I'm driving to Milwaukee, and I see their name on Pfizer form. Like, who is that? And I'm the only one who doesn't know them.
Now you know. Let's see. The FBI executed a search warrant at former President Donald Trump's residence in Mar-a-Lago this day 2 years ago. The wheels of justice turn slowly, but they inextricably turn toward justice. Today, sadly, was the first anniversary. It was a year ago today. The big fire in Lahaina in Maui and the in Hawaii, 17,000 acres of land burned almost instantly. At least 101 people were killed. And President Richard Nixon announced his resignation this day in 1974.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we're going to talk about Christian nationalism's influence on Project 2025 and what that could mean for America. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
at a smoothie bar, asking people if they'd switch smoothies with me for $574.
Oh, I'll switch.
So what about $574 if you switch your home insurance to Allstate?
That's a headache.
Nope, it's painless.
Oh, so it's easy money.
Yep, check Allstate first, and you could save hundreds on quality home insurance today. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Not available in every state. Based on the national average annual savings for new home insurance customers surveyed in 2023 who switched to Allstate and reported savings. Savings vary.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.